Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to Family Church, Corey. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you made it. Praise the Lord. So glad that we all made it. Hallelujah. You know, it's so strange when you don't have service, when you're used to it. You know, over, it's like, and then, you know, it's been 4 years, four and a half years since I have not been at least, you know, several weeks in a row in Corey and for a service. And so that was very strange. But we're so thankful for God. We're so thankful for coming back together. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, you know. There's so many, you know, following the Lord is such a wonderful thing. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a quest for truth. You know, I'm on a quest for truth. You know, I always have been, praise the Lord, and I think I will continue to be. But we should, a quest for truth is not something that we should ever feel that we've arrived at. And that's because we never, and it's not because on God's end, but it's on our end, but we can never receive the fullness of who God is and what God wants to say to us. And how many know that, you know, that every denomination is probably going to get something right? Every church is going to get something right. Even if they have a lot wrong, they're going to get something right. And so that means that there's something that somebody else isn't getting or something like that, you know. And so we should always be endeavoring to find more truth. The problem with Christians a lot of times is when they get to a place where they feel like they just don't, you know, they kind of get to where they're at. I know what I know. I've experienced what I've experienced. Listen, you haven't experienced nothing until you've experienced the fullness of God. And you don't experience the fullness of God here. And so we're traveling to get to that point, amen? And so if we ever come to that place where we're complacent, that place where we can't learn anymore, we can't be changed, we've come to a place that isn't usable by God. We've come to a place that we can't hear from God. And so we should always be on that quest for Him, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We are endeavoring to do so. You know, in this year, there's been a lot of changes, especially recently. In the last trip that I was with Reverend Greer when I was in Branson, he prophesied some things over me, spoke over me some things. And one of the things, some of the things that he said, you know, I love what he said to begin with. He said, "Now I'm not here to lead you or to guide you." And I love that he said that because, you know, we have to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't use man or woman to help us get there. You know, when we're learning these things, it's always good to have that. But, you know we should always be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. But then the things he spoke afterwards, and I'm not going to go into all that he spoke because it pertained to me, praise the Lord. But the things that he spoke over me, at first they were very, very sobering. Okay, and so as I heard them, I tended to start getting into a little bit of fear, a little bit uneasy about it. Yeah. Not just that day, but like in the days following, as I would listen to it again and listen to it again. But you know, I knew that it was truth. There was a difference. It wasn't just something that was spoken over me that was like, "Oh, that doesn't fit," or something like that. I knew it was truth. I just didn't know what all the truth was. How many know that we see in part, know in part? You're not always going to know right now what you got for the future, amen? Because there has to be an element of faith to it, to please God. And so there's going to be times when we're not going to know everything we have to do. We're just going to know we have to step in this direction. But even in the past few weeks especially, some of that truth has been becoming more and more clear to me. And it's been opening up doors, and I've been seeing, I've almost feel like I've been reawakened in a lot of ways in the Spirit. And that's a real exciting thing, amen? Praise the Lord. But this all stems from, the reason I say all this is this all stems from my desire for truth. If you don't have a desire for truth, then, and when I'm talking about truth, I'm not talking about, okay, if we watch the news and they're saying one thing and when the other channel's saying the other thing, I want the truth. That's not what I'm talking about. That truth doesn't matter. The only truth that matters is this truth right here. Because we can't build on any other foundation other than what this is. This word is truth. Praise the Lord. That's the word of God. Amen. And we get it in different flavors, but it all basically is leading to the same thing, and it's trying to bring us back to God. And so we need to desire the truth above all else. Amen. But if you're on a quest for truth, and if you will submit yourself, God will absolutely bring you to that place. And I've been proving it over and over again. Amen. Now, with that, as I say this, this doesn't specifically have to do with that. That was kind of separate. But I am going to let you know something, and I'm going to let you know because things might seem a little different up here. What is going to seem different? Well, I have recently got a new Bible. Praise the Lord. I'm really excited about it. This has been about 6 months in the workings. Praise the Lord. You might think that, you know, you just go to the store and buy a Bible, but that's not how it worked with me this time. I believe that this has been part of my journey. Amen. And for a lot of reasons, I'm not going to get into all of them, but for a lot of reasons, but it's a new version. And so I expect for some time at least that I'm going to be preaching out of a new version of the Bible. Amen. Now, when I say new version, it's a new version compared to what I preached out of before. Amen. It's not brand new. Somebody didn't just come up with it. It actually, the version that I'm preaching out of is called the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. And all pretty much, I think, universally, scholars agree, it is the most accurate translation. And that's part of why, but not even remotely all of why I got there, because, you know, the New King James Version is good. If you read the King James Version, you get good stuff out of that. You know, you can get good stuff out of the NIV Version. You can get good stuff out of a lot of the translations. But this is how God is leading me. I wanted to preface this. I will also preface tomorrow's service by saying the same thing. I am not leading you, however, to go change your Bible. If you're comfortable with the one you got, then stay with it. Praise the Lord. God will speak to you through it. But one of the things I had to do, my other Bible was also full of notes. A lot of notes. And one of the reasons that I needed to get a new Bible was because I wanted to start over with no notes. Yeah. Amen? I wanted to get back into that place. And so I'm kind of, you know, that's not wrong, nothing wrong with having notes, but, you know, there's greater revelation as you go. I hope that makes sense. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, that was introduction to the message. Not really, but that was good. Nonetheless, tonight's message is called Simply Faith. Praise the Lord. And we are going to be talking about simply faith. We're going to be talking about a little bit, about what faith is and what it isn't. And I think that in light of some things that have happened, I think it's very important that we do this, although this message is not for that purpose. I'm not trying to, change or come down on anybody. All I'm trying to do is keep us in that quest for truth. Amen. And one of the things is, you know, the Bible talks an awful lot about faith. Faith is an important thing to God. And so faith should be an important thing to us. But so many times we have a disconnect. We miss what faith is all about. Don't you want to know? Yeah. I want to know what it's all about. And so we're going to go over this ground again, because really all things in our Christian walk will stem from faith. I said all things, including your salvation, all things stem from faith. If you are a faithless person, then you cannot receive of God. Amen? And so we're going to find out what this has to do with. We're going to see some things in the scripture tonight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Simply faith. Go ahead and turn with me to Mark 11:22. These pages are all new, and the Bible is, I got a nice goatskin Bible, so it's all fancy and goaty. Fortunately, it doesn't smell like a goat. It smells way better than a goat. Amen. I don't know what they do to it, but they make it smell better, and that's good. Praise the Lord. The print is nice and big, so I think I can see it from across the room. Amen. Now, this is a scripture, Mark 11:22. This is a scripture that means an awful lot to me. This is a scripture that the Lord brings me to an awful lot. And what I mean, bring me to it, like as I'm seeking God on things, I will hear it in my spirit over and over and over again. I hear it a lot. This is a very, very, very important foundational truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if you found Mark 11, and see, this is another thing that's going to be new for me, because I'm used to things being at a certain location in the, you know, on the page. Praise the Lord. And now it's all changed. So I'm kind of feel a little wobbly, but praise the Lord, we'll get there. Amen? It says here, and Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Praise the Lord. Have faith in God. When they were questioning Jesus about the fig tree, and you know, there's a lot of things in that account. There's a lot of historical truths in that account. That's actually something my wife and I have been studying out and been seeing some really interesting things. But that's not what we're preaching about tonight. But he was when the disciples had asked him about that, they're asking him about the fig tree being withered from the roots. He said, "Have faith in God." The truth of Jesus, one of the earmarks of Christ, is the fact that he walked around in constant faith in God. Praise the Lord. The things that Jesus did were not his faith. He did them because of his faith. Amen? Now, so often when we look at faith, we look at it as an individual thing. I got faith for healing, or I got faith for finances, or I need faith for this or faith for that. But what did Jesus say? Have faith in God. See, when we put our, we tend to want to put everything in a basket. We want to put everything, you know, in our ideas, and we want to turn things and make them what we want them to be. And this is a reason that I see so many Christians make so many mistakes, because they think that they think that they have faith in something, and that something is not what they were supposed to have faith in. They were meant the entire time to be trusting in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 39:7 says, "And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." Something we understand about faith, and we're going to be getting into here in a minute, but faith is also hope. But hope is not what we understand from our current, you know, our current understanding of hope generally. Now, I was reading recently, I can't remember which scholar I was reading, and he was actually talking about the King James Version of the Bible. And he said, one thing that we have to be careful of when we read that is, and this is a scholar like, you know, probably 100 years ago was writing about this stuff. He said, one of the things that we have to understand when we read that is that sometimes the words in the, like, have changed meaning. Like if you have a word in English, you know, you go back, and I always use this example, you know, the King James Bible has the word unicorn in it. Now, how many unicorns have you seen? Praise the Lord. I haven't seen any. But if you research and you understand what a unicorn was in that time period, it didn't mean a pretty little white horse with rainbow-colored hair and a horn coming out of its head. That was not a unicorn. A unicorn was described as it was describing a rhinoceros. And so we can understand things like that, that the wording can change and the wording can mean something different. Amen. And so it's important for us to update ourselves. Yeah. Amen. It's important to be updated as we go. We don't want to just get into this place where we're just reading it, you know, just the words. These are the words that were written. Listen, this is the word of God, but the words were written by man and they were translated by man. And so there can be error in that aspect. Now, I'm not telling you that the Bible is full of errors and that you can't trust it, because the Bible tells us to study. Amen. And if you study, it makes sense and you can understand it. Amen. But I say all that to say this, that King David, when he was talking here, was writing this psalm. He said, "My hope is in you." What he was saying is the same thing that Jesus was saying. I'm having faith in God. My faith, my hope, my expectation is what hope means, is in God. And that's what biblical hope is. When we see hope in the scripture so often, it is talking about our expectations of something. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us to have faith in God. And so our expectations need to lie with Him. They don't need to be lie with our ideas of things, or, you know, what Pastor Jeff has said, or his particular bent on it. But really what the Word of God is actually teaching us. And as a minister, what I endeavor to do is teach the Word of God from a standpoint of understanding the way God meant it to be. And you can understand that, amen? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get everything perfect all at once. I haven't, you won't, and nobody else will. But as we strive for these things, we're going to get there. So we need to understand what simple faith is. And simple faith is really just trusting God. And if you can learn that concept of trusting God, truly trusting God, if you can learn that concept, you don't need faith for anything else. Yeah. Why? Because as you trust God, it all works out. See, when you trust God with something, you know, some of the hardest things that I face as a pastor, as a man of God, as a human, some of the hardest things I've faced, I can tell you this, they have all found their answer when I finally got myself around to trusting the Lord, putting my trust in Him. Now, you're sitting here tonight, you're sitting here, and you have a pastor that's standing up here preaching to you. And I'm telling you not to trust man. I'm telling you to not put to put all your eggs in my basket. And that's truth. You shouldn't. But you do have to know whether or not God has led you here. Because if you know that, then you can believe and trust God that God will use me to speak into your life. Now, maybe everything I say won't be perfect. But the things that I do say, He can use to change your life. And that's exactly what God has done in my life. In fact, my wife and I, one time we went to a church. We were on kind of a little vacation. We went to a church that was completely different than anything that we've actually done this several times, completely different than anything that we would sit under. In fact, when we were there, we realized instantly, in all these churches, we realized instantly that we would not sit under them because their doctrine is off. But you know, we weren't going to church because we wanted to listen to a man. We were going to church because we wanted instruction from God. And see, all in how you go is it can make all the difference in the world. And so us going there with that heart, with that intent, God spoke to us in that message. Now, He didn't speak to us about the message, but He spoke to us despite the message. Amen? And sometimes some of life-changing revelation because we're just hungry for God. And so what Jesus is saying is have faith in God. Put your trust in Him. See, Jesus said that with God, all things are possible. It doesn't mean all things are probable, but it means all things are possible. And that's why it's so important to know God, to know what He, you know, and we're going to be talking about that on Tuesday nights. We're going to be talking about, you know, the leading of the Lord and at least how it works and from our understanding of it, of course. Amen. That doesn't mean there isn't adaptations. But one of the things I have learned about God is that He will make it personal for each and every one of us. Because God loves us. He wants a relationship with us. Amen? So Jesus said, have faith in God. David said, my hope is in you. I hope in the Lord. My hope is in Him. Saying the same thing, I have faith in God. Whenever David, when you see the Psalms, you see sometimes David was in a lot of trouble. A lot of times it was because of things he had done. Amen. And so here's David in trouble because of what he did. And then sometimes he was in trouble because of nothing he did, because of someone else. But they all had the same answer. They all had the same answer, and that's to trust God. Now, when we say trust God, we're not saying arbitrarily throw everything up, your hands up in the air, and just don't do anything. Because the one thing that we learn about faith is that faith has action to it, doesn't it? Without faith, you can't. If faith doesn't have action, Paul was talking about this. He said, if faith doesn't have action, there's no faith involved. And so we know that faith has action. But faith isn't just sitting idly by and just letting the world pass by and trusting God that it'll all be okay. Because God will always give us instruction. And in fact, I found this. If we're in trouble, the first thing God will always do when we can hear from Him is instruct us. Yeah. Amen. The other day, my precious grandmother, who was the reason for me knowing the Lord, she went home to be with the Lord, and it was we had been praying. We actually saw her on Sunday. She wasn't really, she couldn't even really talk. She couldn't talk. I do think that for a moment, anyways, she knew that I was there. But we prayed with her to go home, and so the other day she ended up going home. I'm not saying because of my prayer, praise the Lord, but she did end up going home, and that was an exciting thing. Amen. But the morning when I got the phone call, it was early in the morning. My wife and I were sitting in our back room. It was on Friday, right? Yeah, yesterday. Praise the Lord. And so we were sitting in our back room yesterday morning. And as we were sitting there, a lot's happened since then. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of things that have, it seems like one day can be two or four. But at any rate, we were sitting in the back room there, and I was just pondering, you know, I was pondering my grandmother, pondering where she is, and I know she went to heaven. She's a wonderful woman of God and just such a wonderful example of faith, love, and hope, and all these things. And, you know, as I was sitting there, I don't even know if my wife heard it, but I said under my breath, I spoke to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do you think about this? Like, Not asking, like, what do you think about my grandmother passing and being with him? I'm sure he was excited about that. But just, what do you think about it all? What do you think? What's your thoughts? I didn't even really know what to think at the time. And so I was just like, Lord, I just want to know what you think. It really is what I was saying. And I heard these words as I was sitting there and I was praying quietly in the spirit. And I heard these words in my spirit. And it's actually lyrics from a song, believe it or not. But it's I think it's mostly good anyways. But I heard the words, Word of God speak. That's what I heard in my spirit. And as soon as I heard those words, what I knew was I had to go to the Word. Yeah. If I'm going to hear from God, I had to go to the Word. Right. He's going to teach me through His Word. He's going to talk to me through His Word. And, you know, a few days prior to that, when we had gone and prayed with her, it was an emotional event, you know, praying with her and stuff like that. And I was troubled about something. I was troubled about seeing her the way she was. She wasn't in pain, but I was just seeing her the way she was, and I didn't want to see her like that. And I'm like, you just need to go home and be with the Lord. Go get your reward and go be with Him. You know, it's far better. Her race is, and I told her that. I said, you don't have any more work here to do. You know, she was mostly unconscious, but I believe that she was hearing me. But you know, the next day when I was just, and that evening I was under kind of a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of anxiety in my flesh, but I knew, again, the answer is in the Word. And as I sought the Lord and as I saw, it was open to hearing from His Word. The Lord opened His Word up to me, and He answered the things that I needed to know. And He took me to the Scriptures that I needed to hear. And the Scriptures that I needed to hear answered the problem that I was currently facing. And as I did that, the peace of God flooded my heart, and then I was lifted up because I was meditating on the right thing. Amen? But see, so often there's times in life where I don't even know why I'm on all this, but it's helping us, praise the Lord. But, you know, there's a lot of times in my life where we're going through stuff, and the tendency is always to focus on the thing. But Jesus said, have faith in God. Yes. Do you know that when you focus on the thing, that's what your faith is on? Yeah. I said, when you focus on the thing, that's what your faith is on. But we know this, faith that isn't in the will of God, or faith that isn't in God, isn't faith that's going to go anywhere. Right. It's not going to help you. It's not going to build anything. It's not going to change anything. And so when we're being drawn away, or drawn away from the Lord, or drawn away from His peace, that's our first indication. In fact, that's something that the Lord showed me about my own life as I was meditating on these things, is that when you get to that place where there's anxiety, and there's things where you're mad, or there's things where it's not working right, or just something isn't, it's off, that means that His peace isn't present with you. And that's the place that you need to get to. Praise the Lord. Now, you may be sitting there saying, well, sometimes I don't even know when I'm so wrapped up in a situation, how do I even get to that place of peace? Well, the answer is quite simple. You go to Him. He's the one that we go to. Jesus said, have faith in God, which means you go to God. I go to the Lord. Lord, I have no peace. And I know it's not of You. I need to get to that place of peace. But then you got to be willing to hear. You got to be willing to listen. And see, so often what our problem is, and the Lord has been showing me this over and over for weeks, He's been showing me this so often, what our problem is we're just not willing to listen. Yeah. We like, you know, when I say we like the way we feel, really what I mean by that is we embrace the way we feel and not the way He told us to feel. And because we embrace the way that we feel, that's what we have the fruit of, because that's following the flesh. There's nothing but destruction there. God leads us according to the Spirit. And so often when we're talking about simple faith. Simple faith really is following God. It's having enough trust to say, you know what, I don't know all the answers. Do you know how many times I don't know the answer? Like almost every time. It's the truth. I mean, as I walk through life, I have things that rise up before me, and I'm thinking, that's so much bigger than I am. There's so much more knowledge about what put that thing there then that's in my head to remove it. But see, God is infinite in His wisdom. And if I tap into that, that's where my answer is going to be. Have faith in God. Amen? You're going to come to church. And inevitably, if you stay in a church for any length of time, inevitably something's going to happen you don't like. Something's going to happen you don't agree with. Maybe it'll be something I say. Maybe it'll be something I do. But none of that matters to someone who has faith in God. And why is that? Because either God brought you or He didn't bring you, one of the two. And if he didn't bring you, you're in the wrong place, so you might as well go somewhere else. If he did bring you, then you know that he can help you there. Praise the Lord. Despite me. Despite the fact that I'm not a perfect person. See, a lot of times we put our leadership up there. We put them on a pedestal. We say that you have to lead perfectly right. But the one thing I've found by being a leader is that I don't know. In fact, the only thing that I've learned, being a pastor has not made me smarter. It's made me rely on God more. Yeah. I said it's made me rely on God more. Because as I do this, as I walk this out, I'm like, I don't know what the answers are for all of this. I have people come to me and say, well, why does this person die this way? Or why does this person die this way? And you know what the truth is I don't know. Sometimes I just have no idea. Sometimes the things we can't answer. See, we want answers for the wrong questions a lot of times because we just look at a situation and we say, I want an answer for this. But that answer isn't going to change anything in us. Praise the Lord. And so we have to trust God. Simple faith. We have to be like, Lord, and I don't mean just like say, okay, I trust God. I mean like you get down on your knees or however you pray and you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, I trust you. And I'm just going to tell you something. If you haven't learned that place of trust yet, then that's what you need to deal with. Because until you get there, you cannot receive from him. And so then you need to sit before the Lord, and we're going to see this in a minute. You need to get on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't trust, but I want to trust. I want to know. I want to understand. Praise the Lord. And this is the message that we teach. See, one of the things that I've seen in the church in recent times, and it's funny as I read, I've been reading these books, like a book I just finished. I've been reading like crazy, and it's amazing because I'm not a reader. I am now, but I typically hated reading. Like any idea, you know, if it was more than a few paragraphs, I didn't want to read it, and sometimes then I wouldn't even read it. But I've been reading, and the books I've been reading are, one of the books was written 300 years ago. Another one of the books, or a lot of the books I've been studying out of, have been written over 100 years ago. What I'm reading was today. I was reading was written in the 19, I think, in the 1940s, almost 100 years ago. But you know what's interesting? The same problems that are going on today were the same problems that were going on then. And it all comes back down to the same thing: man has to find his path to God, or man is not going to be helped. You know, the church is withdrawn and it's gotten more and more so withdrawn from God. Where, you know, I preached a message in Mayville last week, and if you didn't listen, you should have, because I told you to, and that was where your help was because we didn't have service last week. But I preached a message in Mayville last week, I think it was, talking about, you know, how we've fallen out of love with God, that we've made, you know, the gospel is about self-preservation, and coming to God is all about what he can do for you, and it's all about you. And that's not the gospel of the Bible. In fact, the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us to let go of us, to crucify us. Not just let go of us, to crucify you. So how can we have a gospel that is based about man? And then we wonder why man is in so much trouble, because all man is doing is thinking about themselves. Do I have enough money? Do I feel good enough? Do I have this help? Do I have that help? They stopped seeking God and kept seeking the thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:38. I love the Word of God. And if you don't love the Word of God, you need to fall in love with it. You need to learn to love it. Because I'm telling you, there's nothing that will change your life without the Word of God. Do you know the Spirit of God cannot change your life without this Word? I said, God can't change your life without this word. So we might as well get accustomed to that. Hebrews 10:38 says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know, we quote Jeremiah 29:11 all the time. The thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts? You know, where do thoughts come from? They come from your mind. Right? Do you know what soul is? The soul, when you see it in the Bible, oftentimes it's speaking about the mind, the intellect, the will, and the emotions. Amen? So he's saying that my mind, my thoughts then, have no pleasure in you. See, the just one lives by faith. The righteous one lives by faith. The one who is right standing with God lives by faith. Faith is what drives them. What is faith? We're going to see it here in a minute. But we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but are those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things, and here we see that word, hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. So faith is the assurance of things expected. Yeah. And really what it's talking about, this is talking about God faith. This isn't faith in anything else. Listen, we're not here to talk about, you know, faith in anything else. You have faith in your spouse or you have faith in your friends or anything like that. I don't care about any of that. You know, like, you can define that however you want to define that. But this is talking about God faith. Amen? Faith is, praise the Lord, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Going down to verse 6, it says, and without faith, so without that assurance, without that expectation, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Yeah. You know, I studied this scripture out in quite a bit of depth, because this, again, is another one of my probably favorite scriptures. Because it gives us so much understanding of God and how to access God and all these things. And so I studied these out in the, I guess you could say, in the Greek language. I don't read Greek, but I went to a concordance and I looked at it and I broke it down according to what it's saying so I could understand it more. And of course, other translations and explaining what it is. And this is what came out of that. And I think that it's really, it's kind of like an amplified version, if you want to look at it, but it's not the amplified. It says, and without absolute trust and reliance in God, his ways, his person, his character, it is impossible to please him. For he who draws near to God in the hopes of truly discovering his reality must believe that because he is who he has revealed himself to be in all aspects and as our inheritance, even so, he is a rewarder of those who diligently and unceasingly look expectantly to experientially discover him. That's what the scripture is telling us. The scripture is telling us that we have to seek, we have to have a desire for God. That the desire first has to come from that place, but not just for God, but for the God that he says and has revealed himself to be. Yeah. You can't know who God has revealed himself to be without his word. Yeah. Because that's how he's revealed it. Now, God will use different methods. I believe in prophecy. I believe in God using people like that and prophets and stuff like that, using people to see into the spirit and to understand things. And all that stuff is great. But all that stuff isn't necessarily the word. What we have to understand God by is not what some man says or what some woman says, but what God said. And this is why so many people, we have cults, pseudo-Christian cults, that are off. And the reason they're off is because somebody said, I had this revelation about something, and this is what the truth is about God. But it doesn't line up with the word. So then what they have to do is come back to the word and then change the word to make the word do what they want it to do. Yeah. To supposedly set them free. Praise the Lord. I am not saying that revelation isn't good. Revelation is good as long as it lines up with the word. I'm not saying that prophecy isn't good. It's good as long as it lines up with the word. But when it separates from the word, it no longer becomes truth. Praise the Lord. We have to understand God the way he told us to understand him. And unless we're willing to do that, we're never going to receive what God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was reading this book called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. This is one of those books. It's really interesting how I was led to it. Because this was one of those books that I wasn't looking to find. I didn't even know who he was. And then I don't even know how I came across it. But as I came across it, it drew my spirit to it. And so I started reading it. It's been, Again, not one of those things that are changing my life. But this is what they said about, this is what he said in this one particular part. He said, to most people, God is an inference, not a reality. He is a deduction from evidence which they consider adequate, but he remains personally unknown to the individual. He must be, they say, therefore we believe he is. And see, in the surface, that sounds like a good thing, but I would say that there's a lot of Christians that fall into this category. It only makes sense that there's a God, so I believe that he is. But that's not knowing God. Praise the Lord. I think, did I have this in here? I don't know if I had this in here or not. I guess I didn't. But I saw it like this. Has anyone heard of Elvis?
Yeah.
Right? You know, I think everybody in here knows who Elvis is, right? But did you know Elvis?
No.
You can deduce that Elvis existed, sure. That he was real. You can buy his albums. You can go to his house, see his pictures. You could touch his clothes if you're... have enough money, I suppose, praise the Lord. There's all kinds of things that you can do, but you can't know Elvis,
yeah.
Right? He's gone, he's moved on, hopefully to heaven, but praise the Lord. But we can. But people approach God the same way. Yes, he exists, and in their mind that makes sense. Okay, it makes sense that God exists, but they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
They haven't spent any time with him.
Wow.
Simple faith, yeah, can only be built from knowing who God is. And you can only know who God is by spending time with him in his truth. First, of course, in his word, but then, of course, also by his spirit. I don't make any light. I am so thankful for the camp that I've been raised up in. For as many things as I could point to and say, well, I don't think I agree with that, or I don't think I agree with that, or I don't think I agree with that, I can tell you this, there's a few things that it's put into me. It's put in me an absolute love for the Word of God, an absolute reliance on the Word of the truth of God, amen, and it's put stability into my life.
Yes.
Two things of which I didn't have. I didn't have the word and an absolute adherence to the word, and I didn't have knowledge of the word. Not that I have absolute knowledge now, but I didn't have those things, and I didn't have any stability in my life. And this is and it was all because I had never experienced God.
Yeah.
I didn't know who he was. The simplest thing of faith that we should be after. The only thing with faith that we should be after is having faith in God. Learning. The word faith, or the word to have faith, praise the Lord, it literally means to trust in God. That's literally what faith is. It's to put the whole of your trust in him. It's to put all your eggs in that basket, all your balls in that court. It's to look to him and only him and say, that's the direction I'm going. But see, without doing that, until we're willing to do that, and I mean with everything, and I'm going to tell you the truth, God has brought me through some pretty rough territory getting to this place, and I'm only coming to a place now where I'm starting to see the fullness of what this truth really means. And what I mean by the fullness of it, I'm not saying I'm arrived, almost arrived, or anything like that, but the absolute knowledge that there are times where there's no one you can ask but him. There are times when there's nowhere you can go except for him. I see too many people put their reliance in man, and they put their reliance on human things, and that's why it fails. Because the minute somebody does that, the minute you exalt someone, that opens the door for the devil to attack it. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to attack it with everything he can. Because if he attacks that and can get you to stop trusting God, then he's got you. Then he's won. And that's how the devil does it. He doesn't do it by any special power. He just waits for you to exalt something in your life above God. And he takes opportunity through that door. Praise the Lord. It is absolutely the truth. We see it over and over and over again. We see it through Scripture. Every ministry that's ever failed probably could be tied to this thing. Not just one person or whatever exalting. But you've seen people who have been used of God in mighty ways, and then all of a sudden they shipwreck, and they shipwreck because of that thing. Because people's pursuits weren't after God. People's pursuits were in their own ideas. Amen. So with that, I want to say this too. It's something we have to understand. So we see what faith is. But we all also have to understand another side of this. And this is something that just really seemed right in this message. But the other side of this is faith is not fear. And we have to understand the importance of this. Because fear is another tactic of the devil to try to get you into a place of not trusting God. That's another place where he gets you out of faith. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us," in the NASB it says, "God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Timidity literally means a lack of courage or confidence, fearfulness or cowardice. Remember the beginning when we talked about faith in Hebrews 11:1, it says faith is the assurance. So what's the opposite of assurance? It's a lack of confidence or a lack of courage. So God has not given us that spirit. And so if there's a lack of confidence or a lack of courage, then we can understand it ain't of God. God doesn't lead that way. Amen? Now, there's checks and balances, you know, and we're not teaching all about being led by the Spirit here tonight. But there's checks and balances. There are things in you. There can be a thing in you that goes off and says, don't do this or don't do that. And sometimes you know, we've even heard, like my wife said, we heard people who would question it and said, you know, I wasn't sure if I was being in faith or if it was actually leading of God or if I was getting into fear. And of course, there's that anxiety and you start working up. And we've all been there.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. As a pastor, I've been there many times. Yeah. Glory to God. So it's nothing, that's nothing new, because that's what the devil does. He's going to try to get it. But this should be an indication to us that is instability, and instability isn't of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is always going to lead us according to truth. You know, the thing I wanted to talk about, that faith is not just saying it's faith. You know, I see this a lot in Christian circles, especially, well, only faith circles, really, people that claim to be of the faith camp, is they say, oh, look, I have faith for this or I have faith for that. But you know not to do something. For example, if you're sick, you can't say I have faith to get past this and then take it to church and pass it to friends. That's not faith. That's walking out of love. There's no faith in that at all. There's no faith that says if you've got a contagious disease, to take it to the multitude of people and share it with them, or anything else. I don't care if it's a cold, flu, coronavirus. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. See, for so long we've lived this life where we thought, well, faith is this. Faith is like, well, I don't have any money, so I'm just going to go spend whatever I can. I'm just going to pull out my credit card and start using it. That's not faith. That is not faith at all. In fact, if you understood what faith is, because why? There's principles that God does not tell us to walk against. God has given us a brain to think for a reason. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, listen, there's a truth that this has somehow gotten lost in translation. But we have to look at things correctly. It's the same thing with whether it's taking a vaccination, not necessarily the coronavirus vaccination, but just a vaccination in general, or whether it's getting a shot, or it's taking medicine or anything. Whatever you can do in faith, praise the Lord. But just because you're a person of faith doesn't mean that you'll negate all those things. See, and that's another thing. People won't go to the doctor because they're like, well, I'm in faith. No, you're not. It's not faith to just arbitrarily, like there's people that have died because they've been in so much faith that they've stayed away from the doctor.
Yeah.
It's the truth. Yeah. See, faith isn't those things. Faith is trusting God. It's trusting who he is and how he's made things to be.
Yeah.
God made this world work a certain way. He made your body to heal. We can trust God for healing. I'm not saying that we have to throw it all out. But even with trusting God for healing, if you're trusting him in that area, you can't trust God for healing if your life is all in chaos. If you're living like the devil, or you're doing things against what the word says, or you knowingly are violating the word of God, and you say, I'm using faith for healing, you'll never be healed.
No.
Why? Because there's no faith there. You know, in fact, we look so many times where Jesus or the disciples, when they laid hands on people, say, your faith has made you whole. Jesus said that several times, your faith has made you whole. But their faith wasn't necessarily even in the healing because they didn't know whether or not they would be healed. Yeah. Their faith was, their expectation was in the man of God. Jesus walking on the earth, you understand. That's where it was, and that was the faith that propelled them forward. It wasn't because, oh, they had such great faith. And there was times where people, exhibited good faith, great faith. I'm not saying that, and I'm not saying those things are exempted. But I'm saying that, you know, faith isn't pretending that things don't exist. And for somehow we've gotten that in our mind. Simple faith is trust in God. Simple faith is no matter what is coming. You know, I'm going to tell you something that maybe some people might want to shoot me for even saying this, but I'm going to say it. Praise the Lord. What was I going to say? See, I almost said it and then I forgot it. It'll come back to me. Praise the Lord. Oh, there it was. Praise the Lord. Sometimes the trouble you face is not going to end just by simply saying so. Sometimes the opposition that you are in is for a greater purpose. That doesn't mean that you act wrong. That means that you get in faith and act right. I'm not saying don't use authority. Of course we use authority. We're given authority. But you know, Paul used authority to try to get somebody, the thorn in the flesh, to stop harassing him. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. Deal with it in faith. Trust me. Put your faith in me. Listen, you're not going to look at everything, every trial that comes your way, you're not going to avoid it. Some trials, if you want some help with this, you can come over to my side and I can teach you something. But it, as a pastor, sometimes you step into trials all the time, actually, that you didn't create. In fact, a lot of times you step into trials that not only did you didn't create, but that you've preached against, people didn't listen to you, and now you got to go in there and try to fix it up. And they want your faith to do so. Yeah. Happens all the time. Yeah. It's happened with me. What I mean happened with me is, I'm sure my pastor has had to clean up my messes. You know what I'm saying? It happens with humans. Jesus certainly did it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But faith doesn't exempt you from every trial. There will be tribulations, and sometimes the tribulation is going to last for a time. And the reason it's going to last for a time is because what's going to happen on the other side of it. The trust in God in a time like that, I'm not saying that applies to every trial. I'm not trying to scare you and make you think, oh, every trial I'm going to go through, I'm just going to have to deal with it now. No, but it does help to be walking with God, because if you learn to walk with God and know God, hallelujah, when you get to that place where you know you can hear His voice, then you can know, when you can hear, my grace is sufficient for you, then you know you just got to wait it out, man. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of, and I'm not opposed to trying something, you know, but there's people that will speak to hurricanes and they don't move. They keep coming. Is that because they had a lack of faith? Sometimes you have to wait out the storm. And if you have to wait out the storm, you know, when Jesus, he gives us example after example after example. He's talking about when the storm comes, the house that's built on the rock, and he's like, the winds are beating against it, the rains are beating against it, trying to knock it off its foundation, but because it's established on the rock, it stands. But there was still a process of time that the storm was raging, and it had to stand. Faith tells us that on the other side, we'll still be standing. Praise the Lord. And that's what we need to have. We need to have faith in God. We need to understand that if there's a trial that just seems to be there, if you're dealing with, maybe you're dealing with sickness in your body or something like that. I am not saying accept it, lay down and just be sick. I'm not as if it's God's will. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying get to know God, get in His presence, find out what He has to say about it. Because that's the whole thing. There was times, there's all kinds of trials that came on the apostles, that came on Jesus. There's times they walked out of them, and there's times they rode through them. Yeah. Jesus rode through the storm in the boat. I mean, I could give you example after example after example. Lazarus died. Yes. Do you remember that one, the one, the centurion came to him and said, just speak the word only, and she'll live. And Jesus said, that's great faith, and that's what he did, and she lived. But why didn't he do that with Lazarus? He could have spoke the word only. But God had a purpose, not in his sickness. He had a purpose in his healing. He had his purpose, had purpose of bringing him back from the dead. Now, God didn't put him there. You understand? See, this is the wonderful thing about God. Sometimes the situations happen because we live in this world. But the Bible tells us that he takes those things that happen in this world, and for those who love him, he makes it good. You can't stop the situations always. You're not going to stop every sickness. You're not going to avoid it every time. I think there's a lot of people in faith that have learned that in recent times. You can't stop every trial, but you can go through it differently. And the best way you're going to go through it is with simple faith in God. See, a lot of times people are going, well, why? You know, they come to me and they say, well, you know, Pastor, why did this happen? I don't know why it happened. You find out. Yeah. It's not my job to find out why something happened to you or somebody you knew or somebody that I've never even heard of before. It's not my job. It's not my job to know that. Because I'm supposed to be so spiritual. I'm supposed to be clairvoyant, know everything that everybody else is doing. Absolutely not. Listen, we have to get back to this idea that yes, a pastor will help us and they'll teach us the Word of God and will prepare us, but we have to do something with it. It is not enough to sit there in the seats and then have your pastor pray for you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I can't tell you how many prayers people have asked me to pray and I know they won't go anywhere. Because it's not about my faith, it's about theirs. It's not about what I trust, it's about what they do. Sometimes God gives people times, and when you're a baby Christian, he'll give you a time where other people can come just pray you out of something. Yeah. In fact, I know a situation like this. I know a situation of a woman, an older woman of God. She was on her deathbed. And this man of God, man and woman of God, went there. They were connected. They were relatives. It was a grandmother. And prayed over her. And she got better. Yeah. Prayed over her for healing. She got better. Tried to talk to her about healing of the Lord and the Bible and stuff like that. She, you know, just wasn't going to really grab onto it. You know, she's in her 90s, 80s, 90s or whatever. She had heard what she had heard all her life, and she was good with that. But she knew that she had gotten healed. So the sickness came on her again. Yeah. And you know what she did? She went back and said, hey, I got the sickness again. Pray for me. And they prayed for her. And she got healed. It happened, I think, several times. To the point where they're like, every time she was starting, the sickness was coming back to her. She was like, she was never standing on her own faith. She was trusting the faith of someone else. And it got to the point where their prayer of faith wouldn't do it. All of us grow to a point where our pastor, their prayer of faith isn't going to do it. Now, I can agree with you in prayer. There's principles in the Word of that. I'm not saying don't ever go to your pastor and ask for help. But what you need to do is have a heart that says, I want to know. If I want to know the truth, I can know the truth. Yeah. There are things I can't answer as a pastor. My grandmother spent too much time, in my opinion, spent too much time on this earth. I couldn't change that. I prayed. Now, maybe I'm not saying our prayers had no effect. I'm not saying that at all. But it certainly didn't happen in the time that because I was praying for it months ago. But I, for whatever reason, I couldn't change that. And then the question comes to you, well, why? We believe in faith. We believe this, what we ask and all this stuff. Because there's another will that's involved. Yeah. I don't know what was happening between her and God. Maybe he was talking to her that whole time. I don't have an idea. I'm not even saying she was doing something bad. I don't know. I mean, I suppose if I wanted to take the time and figure it all out. But you know, there's some things I've learned too that it just doesn't matter to me. I don't need to know. And some things that the Lord will reveal them, you know, I like to know. And there's other things that I could spend time on. But you understand that closeness with God, having faith and trust in him, is where the answers are. I'm not saying that you can't pray over somebody and they won't instantly be healed. I'm not saying that. But I am going to tell you this. Maybe not everybody that you pray over instantly will be. Jesus, it seemed like everyone he prayed over was healed. But it also seems like Jesus didn't pray over everybody. I mean, you can go figure that out. You know? I mean, there's things in Scripture that are kind of things that make you go, right? Praise the Lord. 1 John 4:13. I wanted to get here. We're getting close here. You know, one of the things I've learned This is another scripture the Lord shares with me all the time. Is work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. I ain't got to work out your salvation. Sometimes I'd like to. There's a lot of people sometimes I'd be like to be, I want to work that right out of you. Praise the Lord. But I can't do it. Why? Because it's your salvation. It's not mine. It's not mine to be had. I don't have authority over it. Doesn't mean I can't pray for you and believe God for, you know, like, you know, strength and help. And I do pray those things. Amen. Praise God. 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So we see here that Jesus is, we know that we abide in him, or we can trust this because he has given us his Spirit. He's given us the ability to know. Notice he said, it doesn't say here because he's given you a pastor. You don't know that you abide in him because you have a pastor. Pastors are good for what pastors are for. But pastors are not good for what pastors are not for. Right? That's what it is. You know, there was some time in old religion where pastors all of a sudden became everybody's fire truck. Call on the pastor, he come put out this fire. Come on the pastor, he put out that fire. That's not my job and I won't do it. Why? Because the Bible doesn't direct me to do that, and just because they did it before doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I'm not going to make you an invalid or enable your invalidness to just to appease you. I'm not going to do it. You want the Word? I'll help you with the Word as much as I can, amen, and as much as I'm anointed to do. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him. Notice it says confesses. I love it. It says confesses. It doesn't just mean Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. This is confession from a place of faith. This is you've taken upon yourself, Jesus is my Lord. He's the Son of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. People pray that prayer at the end of service, but that doesn't mean they walk it out. I said that doesn't mean they walk it out. Why? Because how do you go out when all hell breaks loose in your life out there? You say, well, I guess Jesus ain't my Lord no more. I guess the devil's bigger than the Lord is, and this trial is too much and all this stuff, and we all do this. But our focus has to go back to him. What's the confession? Jesus is my Lord. Yes. Have faith in God. What was his method? Sending Jesus. What was Jesus' method? Sending the Holy Spirit. Stops right there. Yeah. Jesus came so he could send the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, and so we could have direction so the Holy Spirit could bring us back to God. That's the direction. Amen. Where was I? Where did I leave off? We have come to know and have believed that the love which God has for us, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence, there's that word again, in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. How does it do that? How does perfect love cast out fear? Lord, I trust you in this situation. I know that you love me. You so love me that you sent your Son to die for me. Lord, this situation isn't bigger than that. I trust you. There goes the fear. You might have to do that. Every time the devil brings the fear up, you might have to go back and say, you know what? I trust you. How about in those situations, like maybe you don't know what to do and you're thinking, is this fear or is this a leading? Right. Just turn to God and say, Lord, you don't lead by fear. You only lead by truth. I'm going to go in the direction that I think that I need to go, but I'm willing to be stopped if you're going to stop me. But then you got to be willing to be stopped. Yeah. You can't be all like 3/4 of the way there and be like, I've already come this far. Do you know something? God might not stop you as you step out. He might not stop you as you're just getting going. He might wait till you're almost there and say, turn around. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Why? Am I out of the picture? I'm good. Okay, praise the Lord. I kind of wanted to keep walking. I was like, I don't come down off of here enough. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. When, you know, New King James says torment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Amen. God doesn't want us to be in fear. He wants us to know. That's where faith in God. That's the simplest faith that you can have. I just trust you, Lord. Now listen, that doesn't mean we're never going to need help with walking things out. Of course we will. I'm always open to people saying, you know, if people are even willing. But I found this, people most of the time aren't willing to ask, and I'll tell you why. Do you know why people aren't willing to ask? Because they don't want the answer. They know I'm going to say something that's going to challenge them, and they don't want to do it. Praise the Lord. Does make my job a little bit easier, at least in the beginning. Not always in the end. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you need the answer, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. Listen, I go to God. I go to people God has connected me with. But I endeavor to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to close with James 4:17. It says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Yeah. There is no faith in doing the opposite of the right thing to do.
That's right.
If you know that it's wrong to go out in public when you don't feel well, you're sinning by going out. You're not in faith.
That's right. Yeah.
Listen, it's just the truth. Yeah. And we all struggle with this, because there's times where you're just like, I mean, the other night I was, you know, I wasn't exactly, I was feeling a little bit, you know, something. I can't even remember what it was, but I realized it was heartburn. It wasn't COVID, it was heartburn. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, there's those thoughts that come against you, but, you know, obviously, you know, we're not going to be perfect in all this. But faith doesn't mean you just throw all caution to the wind. Faith doesn't mean that you know, well, it's bad weather, I'm just going to drive anyways. That doesn't guarantee you're not going to get in an accident. Faith doesn't mean, I know I don't have the money, but I'm just going to spend it anyways. Praise the Lord. It'll help us. If you know to do right and you don't do it, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, it's a sin. It becomes a sin. Doesn't matter if 50 other people have done it. To him or her, it's a sin. Amen? So as we endeavor to live this life, as we endeavor to live this way, faith, have faith in God. Trust him. Let him lead you and be correctable. Praise the Lord. Because sometimes, and this is the thing I found about the leading of God, we don't always know that until we know it, until we start learning it, until we've gotten good at hearing it. Praise the Lord. It's something that's a process to learn, and sometimes we need help with that. Don't think that just everything you hear is God, because it's not. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't how wonderful it sounds, how much sense it makes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It'll help you. It'll keep you safe.